Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast. With host A. Trunk.
Hey, everybody, it's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday and always free wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss an interview with the biggest names in rock and metal. That's what we do for you each and every week. And every interview you hear on the podcast originated on my Sirius XM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation, and heard live Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sirius XM channel 103 Faction Talk, or on the Sirius XM app. You can always listen anytime, also on demand on the app. If you are only listening to this podcast and you are in the U.S. or Canada, you're only getting a tiny fraction of what I do on the radio on a daily basis, so make sure you come on board and join me. This week on the show, we have the Dead Daisies, a band that is currently on tour. The band features Glenn Hughes, Brian Tichy, Doug Aldridge, Dave Lowy. I've known Tichy and Doug Aldridge and Glenn for many, many years. The interview you're about to hear happened in the Sirius XM LA studios when I was there about a month ago. All the guys came in getting ready to talk about their new album, which has just come out, called Radiance, and also a U.S. tour. Now, since this interview was done, unfortunately, due to some vocal issues and some voice issues, Glenn Hughes has missed a couple shows with the Dead Daisies, but hopefully by the time you hear this, he is back out playing with the band. But it's great to visit with these three guys, all great musicians. Dave Lowy, who's actually the guy behind the Dead Daisies, didn't join us for the interview, but the other three guys did. And those, like I said, those guys are all good friends. We go way, way back. And it was great to have them all in the studio sharing some stories about not only the Dead Daisies, but some other stuff throughout their career as well. So let's get to it right now. Before we do, just a reminder, be sure to follow me on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page for info and updates on all things going on with the radio show, the podcast, and everything else.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Home isn't just a place, it's a state of mind. Like curling up in a comfy chair as you watch the world go by.
good afternoon.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So without further ado, we take you inside the SiriusXM headquarters in Los Angeles with Glenn Hughes, Doug Aldridge, Brian Tichy, three quarters of the Dead Daisies. Enjoy the conversation. Joining me now in the studio for this hour, three old friends who together are the Dead Daisies, well, three quarters of the Dead Daisies, who have a brand new album coming out called Radiance on September 30th. Another record that it feels like it's taken forever to finally get here. But, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. It, on the heels of the last great record, not that far off, but it just seems like it should be out already because there's a couple songs out.
Right.
And it's still a month away, but it's going to be well worth the wait. Joining me here, I just said as Doug Pinnick walked out, we have another unbelievable bassist singer, these great bass player singer dudes. Oh. But the man who is the voice of rock, Glenn Hughes, is here.
Oh, good to see you, my brother Eddie.
Always good to see you,
absolutely,
sir.
Absolutely.
Last I saw you was at the Shrunken Head ceremony.
Oh, what a wonderful night that
for
was.
For Kevin Dubrow.
Quite, I had a lovely night that night.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, I was at the Golden Tiki in Vegas, and Glenn and his lovely wife came out, and a bunch of other folks, and we celebrated Kevin through...
We had a wonderful night.
Very unique way they do it in Vegas at that place.
I'm not crazy about the head, though. The head looks strange, you know.
It is a bit strange. Doug Aldridge is here. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too, bro. Been a while.
Yeah, it has been. And the Tishmeister on the end.
What's up, man?
Returning to the Dead Daisies on drums.
Boys.
The Tishmeister.
Tried to get away.
He tried, and it's like The Godfather 3. They were out and pulled back in.
Thank God he's back in.
Absolutely.
It's hard to say no when Doug shows up at like 2 a.m. with an acoustic guitar and he's on his knees serenading you at the front of your house. It's like, okay, Doug, calm down. Let's do it, though. Let's do it.
How's it felt to be back in the band, Bri?
It's great. It's great. I mean, after 2 years of a pandemic and getting this call, and your year is set up to play with you know, Glenn and Doug and David Lowe. We put it, make a record, go on tour. You know, cannot complain.
Well, I'm telling you guys, the last record blew my mind. Glenn, you know, we talked about it. I was just like, I compared it to the record you did with Tony Iommi, Fused.
Oh, yes.
In its thickness and heaviness and brutality of the riffage from Mr. Aldridge over here. And to me, from what I've heard of Radiance, and I haven't heard it all, but this record sounds like it very much picks up where the last one left off.
It's
is
a
that
good
accurate?
Spin-off. Yeah, it is. It's dynamic and there's some heaviness, as you know, and groove.
Yeah. Now, the previous record was your first with the band, Glenn.
Correct.
How was it for you, having been established in the band, having made a record, done a bunch of touring, coming back in as a musician and writer for album number two, felt different for you?
A little. I you know, Doug and I got together, I'm jumping here, a couple of years ago, in the summer of 2020, to make new music, secretively, if you will. And we didn't really think about making a follow-up to Hologram. We just started making new rock songs, you know.
And then, so the initial writing was not necessarily for a Dead Daisies record.
It was for the Dead Daisies, but we were just trying to keep busy during the pandemic.
Right.
Glenn was the only person I saw other than family. But then we got, then Hologram came out in like January or February.
January.
Of 21. And then we went off to tour a little bit. And then we were supposed to go to Europe this February, and that got pushed back. Mm. So we decided to go ahead and make a record.
Yeah. And Tish, how did you get back into this? I know that the last record was, if I remember the timeline correctly, was recorded with Dean Castronovo, right?
2019.
And then the live shows Tommy Clufetos did.
Right. Correct.
And then now the Tishmeister back.
Yeah.
So tell me how did you get tied back into this?
No, they just called. That was it. So whatever was going on over there, I wasn't over there. And then I went over there because I got a call. So that's really all I knew. But it was easy. It was like, hey, what are you doing next year? You want to do this?
Glenn and I said, we were hoping, we were talking like, Brian, we got to get Brian. If we could get Brian, it would be amazing.
It would be, yes. And I'm so happy to have him back.
Thank you.
Who called you? Tour manager?
Yeah. Tour manager sent a text and, mate, you got to come back to the band, mate. And I'm like, what? He's like, can I call you? And he called me and that's it. It was real simple.
There was only one man in my mind that I wanted in this band when we were looking for a new guy, and it was the old guy himself.
he's pound for pound the best drummer out right now.
You get no argument from me. He's one of my all-time favorites.
And he's thin, so it's, you know.
So he's not actually that good is what you're saying, because he doesn't have that many pounds.
He is that good. He is.
I couldn't agree more, and what a powerhouse band with all three of you guys and Dave Lowy. Now, where's Lowy? Is he on a jet in Australia somewhere doing deals, or what's going on?
More than likely.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because he actually did an interview with me. I don't know if you know this.
Yes, I did.
I heard.
From the history of the... So when it comes to the Dead Daisies, I can honestly say every incarnation, before any of the three of you were in it, I've had versions of the band doing exactly what we're doing right now from day one. And for years, the only guy that never came in was the guy behind it, Dave Lowy. So I would say, I understand that all the other musicians have this pedigree and history, and everybody knows them from their other stuff. But I thought that would be the interesting story. And then finally, I get a call. And it's like, because I know he doesn't, I guess, he's a little press shy, and he's like, no, he's going to do your show. And we did like an hour, and he laid the whole story of the Dead Daisies out.
You know what it is? He's so driven, and when he's doing one thing, like when he's here to play guitar with us, he's playing guitar full time. He's not doing anything else. When he's doing business, he's doing that. When he's flying, he's doing that. He's really he can compartmentalize his life.
He can.
Yeah, for people that don't know the story, David Lowy is the other guitar player in the band. This was his thing, his project that he put together many years ago. There's been a lot of musicians in and out of it over the years. But David Lowy is also a mega successful businessman, real estate and whatever, his family. Yep. So it's, you know, he splits his time. I mean, and he flies you guys in his own plane, right?
He does. He has a crew of people. He's got a lot of people he employs to take care of that. But he actually flies the plane sometimes as well.
Like on a day off or something, because it's a lot of prep to fly that aircraft.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't, he wants to have a drink, he wants to relax.
Yeah.
And you got to be well rested. There's hours before the flight, you got to do whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about the writing of Radiance and it coming together. You mentioned that it was done essentially through the pandemic.
Yeah, Doug and I were getting together again secretively in the summer of 2020. And we were actually asked by management to maybe we should do a concept album, So Doug and I got together initially to make new music, and I was thinking about lyrically conceptual stuff, And we gathered some songs, both of us brought some songs together, and over the course of 3 or 4 months, we came up with about 10 ideas and some great, stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we took some time away from it, and earlier this year, in January, we were told we were going to make a record in March, and we came up with some more material. So we had about 15 songs. Yeah.
Doug, talk about what it's like working with Glenn, because you guys have worked together previous. For people that don't know, Glenn did a solo tour where you played a bunch of your catalog, and you also did a bunch of Purple, Deep Purple.
Correct.
But Doug, you were part of that. So was that your initial working together? Was that the foundation?
Ronnie introduced me and Glenn to each other at one of his parties. And that's how I met Glenn. And then I met him with David again. But to work with Glenn is a breeze. He's he's a songwriting machine and really connected. And I love what he did on the album. So got to check it out. But
I gotta say, Doug, your voice sounds extra thick and deep in this mic. Really nice today. Really.
You sure you want him back in the band? Are you sure he's happy?
I'm impressed with the way you're carrying yourself and the tone of your voice. It's
whatever we
a little
did,
jealous.
I'm gonna take this mic because it does sound pretty good. whatever we did, when Brian got involved, it got pumped up tenfold.
Yeah,
because he, you can hear that his drumming on the album is insane.
Yeah.
And his parts, it's just wicked. what he did. So
he asked me when we were tracking in the studio daily, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? I'm going, oh, so musical. And he even asked me, can I hear what you're singing? I'm going, oh, a drummer wants to hear me sing. Actually, I'm tracking, and I've got a drummer that's asking me what I'm going to sing there so he can actually become musical with it, which was amazing, I thought.
Yeah, it feels that way now, but I'm sure very soon you'll feel it's annoying. Most people go that route with Tishy. Yeah. Oh, it's great. Right? Shut the fuck up and play your drums, dude.
I'm just Eddie.
I'm just joking with you.
No, it's
because for people that don't know, Brian is not just an extraordinary drummer, but, Brian, you love to play guitar and you sing. I mean, you do a little everything. So you can bring these other elements to the table. Yeah,
juggling act and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Keep the water bottles full or whatever. Mm.
Bet Doug $100 clips of guitar trivia and lose all the time.
No, he only lost once. It was a Stevie Ray Vaughan thing, and he lost. He had to pay me $100.
It sucked.
But he's constantly looking for a challenge. You know him. You know him better than anybody.
Has he done the speed bag yet on the road with you guys?
Not yet. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, if we could make it happen, but that's a whole thing, you know?
There's a clip in the video, I think it's for Shine On from the new record.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one that there's a proper video for, right?
Where correct.
Okay. So it's just a 2-second shot. But knowing Tishy as well as I do and finding him funny, it makes me laugh because I don't know what was going on, but there's a shot of you chasing after a truck pulling
yeah,
away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so Tishy, whatever it is.
It was a garbage truck at the studio, and I was doing some video interview thing, and I ended up by saying I gotta go back to my other job, and I jumped on the truck.
Yeah,
so that was it, you know.
Bri, how did you coming into the material? Did you join at a point where everything was already written?
Yeah, it's always fun, you know. Those like Glenn and Doug said, they had a bunch of stuff demoed up, and it was pretty well focused. So when we all got in the studio, I had prior to that got sent the demos, you know, but I'm like, I can sit here on my own and listen to this stuff and come up with ideas, but it's going to make a huge difference when I'm in a room with the guys and I can ask questions and play, and we can all feel what groove feels best, what parts, because it was all like, I think, you know, various forms of different drum machine demo kind of demos, you know, on the rhythm side. Yeah. So when you get in a room, it changes everything. And that's why I'm like, well, what do you hear, Doug? What do you hear, Glenn? What do you, you know, what are you singing? What makes sense? Like, if this is the chorus, where should I be? And it's fun, you know? And that's, you know, you just try and make the song as good as it can be and you know, stay in your lane and you know, whatever. Shine a little bit when there's room to. And if not, just make sure it's groovy.
What were you going to say, Doug?
I was going to say, he also helped me out with some guitar parts and stuff. There was a song, I was having trouble getting it. I spent like 6 hours trying to get this part to sound like the demo. And he goes, well, you're doing it different. And I'm like, what? Because the demo was old. And he goes, no, you were sliding. You're doing something like that. And then for solos too, I remember I put a solo down and I'm thinking, it's pretty cool, I think. I'm going to play it for Brian. And Brian, I could see his face. I'm like, okay, I got to redo that.
What was the tour like that you guys just did in Europe, Glenn? You guys were over there for a while, right? You had COVID, right? You had to come back.
To talk about what the tour was like, until the COVID hit me, we had a really good run of shows. I mean, they were spectacular. We had a great turnout. We had that's a really amazing run. And of course, David Lowie got the COVID the day of Hellfest.
Which is a huge festival in France, right?
So we missed Hellfest and Grasshopper. That weekend, he got it. And Doug got it a few days later.
Oh, you had it too, Doug?
Yeah.
I got it in Europe?
And one or two other guys got it. Not Brian and not Glenn, but I got it. But it was nothing. It was like sniffles.
Doug got a minor case of it. When I got it, mine was a little bit... scary.
I hear a little rasp in your speaking voice still, too.
I'm good. It's just a...
So did you get zonked pretty hard, Glenn?
I had one day, I told Brian an hour ago that I had one day, it was really, really bad in Lyon. That's when I realized I should stay a couple more days here and get home. Yeah, I was not feeling great.
Have you sang since recovering?
I sing at home all the time.
No problem?
No, no, no problem.
Because that's the scary thing for singers. I had it too. I was, when I got it, I was...
Did you have to stop singing?
Triple vaxxed. I stopped talking. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to stop talking.
I'm waiting for that new band.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, wind, your wind changed.
Yeah.
Like
I
went to get something out of the dryer and I felt like I did a marathon. So the wind and stamina, I would imagine it's concerning if you're a singer for a living like you are, Glenn.
Well, I sing, as Doug knows, every day, wherever I'm at. I'm singing all the bloody time.
Glenn, I hear you in the hotel sometimes when your room's close enough. I actually hear him down the hallway.
Bellowing, probably in the morning, right?
I
warm my voice up. The first thing I'd get up in the morning is have a little coffee and start warming the voice up. I've been very, very lucky to have this voice still in the vocabulary.
Well, I want to ask you about that because it is an extraordinary voice, as everybody knows, and remarkably, you are... You know, I do this thing on my radio show where we talk about the freaks in the best of ways. This is the best. This is the best compliment. Meaning the folks that are in their 70s or beyond that are still seemingly able to do everything vocally.
Yeah,
and you are at the top list of the freaks in all of our opinions.
Well, I'm a freak for sure.
Well, I mean this in the best of ways, Glenn.
Yeah,
but. I know I've talked to you about this before in some ways, but I'm hearing some things I never heard before. Mm. So how do you maintain, what is your process? And do you feel like you've lost anything vocally in all your decades of doing this, going back to Deep Purple and Trapeze through now, you sound as strong as ever. What's the secret?
Let's address, first of all, the 70s. When I was overserved at the bar, if you will. When someone is overserved at the bar and they step up to the microphone, they lose their timing, they're in fear. Fear is a big thing for me. When I'm at the microphone in my sobriety, which is a long time now, I don't go into fear. Off stage, I'm full of fear. But on stage at the microphone, I don't have any fear. And that is the saving grace for me. Also, get a lot of sleep. A lot of water, and as the guys know, every night we do 5 or 6 songs, full, crazy full bore in the dressing room, so I can get right up to speed. It's very important for me to sing full on before I go on stage.
Now, Ronnie James Dio, who of course was a dear friend of ours,
of course.
And of course Doug played in Dio for years, he used to amaze me because...
I know what you're going to say.
There was a time, we'll never forget this, when he was doing Sabbath, it was probably, I don't know, 06, 07. I'll never forget this as long as I live. We're sitting in the dressing room. It was at the theater at Madison Square Garden. It's just me and him in the room. And he says, one of the guys jumps in, crew guys, say, Ronnie, 10 minutes to stage. I said, oh, geez, Ron, let me get out of here. Let's get ready to go on. He goes, what do you mean get ready? What do I got to do? I go, I don't know. I mean, most singers I've seen have done,
right,
whatever they're doing. I was like, yes, no. He goes, he always called me kid. He goes, oh, hang out, kid. Come on. I go, he goes, go out, introduce us. He said, and then walk to the stage.
He never warmed up.
I walked down stage. I said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Heaven and Hell. I walked off. He just walked right out and opened with Neon Knights.
The only guy I've ever known that does not warm up is Ronnie.
And warm up or warm down, because that's part of it too, right?
He did not. I mean, you know, I saw it, Doug saw it. He didn't warm up. And it was amazing that he could do that.
So you have a process.
I have to have a process. I've been doing, my friend Joe Elliott gave me his warm-up tape 20 years ago, and I was using that for quite some time. And now I just do breathing exercises, and we play 5 songs from our show before we go on. And that's what's going to happen for the rest of my career, by doing just that.
I think we all take it for granted because we're around Glenn a lot, but when you do step away, you go, you watch, you know, as rock and roll goes on decade after decade, you see what happens with bands and singers, and then you look over at Glenn and you go, nothing's changing at all.
I'm
2022, 20 years ago, 30, you know what I mean? And we take it for granted, but man, it's something to be brought up because it's effing serious, you know. When we're backstage, I'm like, he hits the high notes in it, and my ear cracks, you know. And it's effortless for him, and it's just, you know. So,
kill.
Hats off to you,
Glenn. Again, I say there's no way anyone could do what we do if they're drinking and carrying on. So for me, when I did get sober in 1991, I made a decision to change everything. And I've been very grateful.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to take calls. If you got questions for Brian Tichy, Doug Aldridge, or Glenn Hughes, or all of them, our toll-free number is 844-686-5863. Again, 844-686-5863. The new Dead Daisies album is called Radiance. It is out September 30th. There's a couple tracks already out. Unbelievably, like, just, it's so, it's, there's a Sabbath heaviness to this. The riffage and the thickness. And, Doug, the guitar tone is just insane. I mean, you must have had a blast digging into this thing and just, you know.
I got to give credit to Ben Gross because he produced it. He was, you know, I mean, when you play how you play. But he definitely brought some, he had me play some different stuff. And then he kind of blended it in, I guess, made it. It's thick.
Yeah, it's very thick. It's so good. And when you talk about Glenn as a singer, and I think it may have been Kevin Shirley, who, of course, you did records with Black Country Communion mm-hmm. with, who brought this up to me, when he said so much attention goes to Glenn's voice that people forget the type of bass player he is, which is also
absolutely
phenomenal. And, Bri, you locking in with playing with a bass player like Glenn, that's got to be unreal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thought of us three and David Lowie playing together when they called me back last year was I was like, this is going to be awesome. You know, I knew in my head what the potential was for, you know, and it's awesome to play with these guys.
And a few years ago, for those that don't know, Joe Satriani put out a record and Joe's records are all instrumental. And Joe tells me, he says, I said, who's in the band? I think he said Kenny Aronoff was playing drums.
Chad Smith, yeah.
On that record then. Okay. And he says, Glenn Hughes is playing bass. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, I'm assuming you got a couple tracks with vocals. And he goes, no, no singing on the record. It's all instrumental. I go, whoa.
I know.
You have Glenn Hughes on your record, but you're not having him sing? And he said, he goes, nope. And I go, why? One song? And he goes, exactly that reason. He goes, right. I want people to hear Glenn.
I thought he was going to ask me at least on the last song to sing something. And I was singing all the time when we were tracking. I always got a mic. I'm always singing something. And he was smiling away and thinking, he's going to ask me to sing, and he didn't. And I really enjoyed playing bass. Of course, I miss singing. I'm a singer, but I was very grateful to play on Joe's album with Chad.
Do you consider yourself a singer or a bass player first, Glenn?
I'm a lead singing bass player, as they say.
Yeah.
Like Doug Pinnock.
And when you went into Whitesnake, initially, I'm sorry, not Whitesnake, Deep Purple, of course, with David Coverdale and the initial burn period of Purple, 73, I think that was. That interplay between Coverdale's voice and your voice, such a big part of that period of time with Purple. Mm. Did you guys work all of that out in advance, or it just naturally happened?
From the moment David had I hate the word audition, but he had an audition, and we didn't tell him he'd got the gig for about a week. That was Blackmore's idea, of course. So when we went into the castle to rehearse and write songs for Burn, we knew that David was the lead singer, and I joined the band to sing some stuff with David. But we had no idea from that very first song, I think it was Sail Away was the first song we came up with, that there were going to be two guys like trading verses, and we didn't know how we were going to do it. David said, no, you go first. It was just like that. Can you imagine him? You can actually hear him.
Yes,
say,
totally.
No, darling, you, I insist, you go first. Yeah, that was a cool thing. I mean, he and I had a great vibe in that band, and we still do to this very day.
David was totally unknown. You were known because you were coming out of Trapeze.
Absolutely.
Was there discussion at that time about why are we even going to bring in another singer? Maybe we just go and have Glenn sing and play bass the whole time?
Just a quick story. At the Essex House in May of 73, when Blackmore, Lord Pace, myself, and management had a meeting, I figured they were going to ask me to join as a lead singing bass player. And I was...
Because that's what you were doing anyways.
Yeah, but they said, no, we've asked Paul Rodgers to sing.
In purple?
Yeah. I don't know if you know this. It's,
well, I don't.
It's a well-known. And the thing, part of my brain went, holy shit. And the other part went, oh, only it would be possible for he and I to sing together. Of course, Paul had got a band together called Bad Company, so he had to pass. So they went about looking for, we went about looking for someone to come in and do something similar to what Paul Rodgers was going to do.
Wow. And I think you've quite well worked out, you know.
It did.
It really did. Through three records, it's pretty amazing how it's, listening to those records today, they still sound amazing sonically, especially, you know, we just lost Martin Birch.
That's the
not
key.
Too long
the
ago.
The key
but,
right there is Martin Birch.
Yeah. I mean, him as a producer and the way those records still sound. And you know what blew me away about Martin Birch was the fact that he must have been extraordinarily young.
Yeah.
Because he was... not that old at all. I figured he would be in his 80s when he passed.
He'd be a little bit older than me. So, yeah.
Well, but you were extraordinarily young.
I was 21. David and I were 21. Marty must have been 24, you know.
I just look at the old videos of Purple, and this guy's on the jet or on the friggin' helicopter, California Jam, Glenn with the friggin' huge hair. So badass.
Yeah.
God, it's so great.
The white suit.
The White Suit, yeah.
And if you've never read Glenn's book, by all means, check out Glenn's book because it is, as they say, a page turner.
Apparently so.
It is a page turner. It's great. Yeah. So Doug, you, if I'm correct on this, outside of David Lowie, who's the guy behind the Dead Daisies, you're the senior guy in this band, aren't you? You've had
what?
The longest.
Ooh,
you've
who,
had the
where,
longest,
when?
But you've had the longest consistent run, have you not?
It's been 6 years. Like in band years, that's probably 60, I guess.
Tell me what it's like doing this band in comparison to other high profile gigs you've had. I mean, you were in Whitesnake, you were in Dio. What is it like being in the Dead Daisies as far as musically, what you get out of it, and the way the whole thing works?
It's like a family thing, the way that he approaches this, the way he runs the band. He himself is just the guitar player. He doesn't make, you know, the bigger decisions. It's management that he hires or that works with the band. They make a lot of the decisions, and then, you know, basically we just create, you know, we've just been creative, but we'd all work together. Remember when I first joined, it was when Richard Fortus left and Dizzy left to go to GNR. And I got together with the guys. It was all of us, with Brian playing guitar, all of us sitting in a circle playing acoustic guitar. And we were just, you know, getting big ideas together. It was really cool. It was like something I'd never done before. And so that it's kind of been like that. When Glenn came in, I knew that he was going to be bringing some songs. Mm. So I started to think about some songs to bring to propose to him. So it's a little bit different, but still at the end, we get together, we hash it out together, the four of us, and it's run like a family thing. It's pretty cool.
Now, as I had mentioned, he's the one guy who's not here, but he's also the guy behind the Dead Daisies, so to speak, and he's also a guitar player in the band, obviously.
Yeah.
So you, as a lead guitar player in the group, working with him as a guitar player and as a musician, because he's the guy, let's be honest, people know you. Oh, there's Doug Aldridge, Whitesnake, Dio, etc. People know all the stuff Tishy's done, all the stuff Glenn's done.
Yeah.
He's the guy that doesn't have that music history, so to speak.
Right.
So as a player, can you speak on what it's like playing with him?
He's a very honest player. He's got his own thing that he does, which is like a youthful thing that I, you know, after so many years of playing guitar, you kind of lose that a little bit, the youthfulness, and he's still got it. It's the way he plays is almost got a little bit of a punk vibe to it. But remember, he grew up in Australia listening to AC/DC and bands like that that have a certain sound, and it's very simple and driving. So his flavor definitely adds, and it's the thread that runs through all the Daisies records. I really enjoy hearing what he does.
Yeah.
He's got a big sound.
Yeah, and when you guys work in the studio, he records on the records as well.
Yeah,
he'll
right,
play
yeah,
on
yeah.
the records also. Yeah,
he does, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take some calls for the guys. Again, Glenn Hughes, Doug Aldridge, Brian Tishy, all here in the studio. Our toll-free number is 844-686-5863. Again, 844-686-5863. It's Eddie Trunk Nation on Faction Talk, Sirius XM, Channel 103. Again, recording a big special with Megadeth tonight here in L.A. You'll hear that play next Wednesday. That'll premiere, and that goes in the usual 3 to 5 Eastern slot. Dave and the whole band will be loading in here soon if they're not already, and they're playing some songs for us from the new record and some classics, and we're going to have a live audience. Should be a lot of fun. J-Lo is in coming in the house, Bri.
Oh, yeah.
You,
nice.
You've spent time with Lomenzo in Pride and Glory with Zach.
Right. And the tie in there is that's when I first met Glenn back on tour.
93?
Yeah, 94. But close enough. And Glenn came back and said, I'm like, effing Glenn Hughes, man. He said, you guys are good.
Yeah, I was blown away by you, young man.
It was, and then years later, I did, Glenn and I did a little weekend club run with
on the East Coast
with Glenn on the East Coast. That was back in 2001, so we have a little history. It's just there's long gaps in between, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But and on that note, when we first got to rehearse for the that weekend of shows, Glenn plugged in to my rehearsal room, put the mic in front of him, turned his bass on, and this insanity, it started as soon as we started playing. I'm like, this guy is just out of his mind. It could not believe.
That's for sure.
but the amount of stuff going on, I'm just watching all this bass playing and this insane singing, and he's just going through it like it's nothing. I was like, this is nothing short of an honor. This is awesome.
Well, you know what I always think of a story about. So we were, Glenn, you've been on, like all of you guys have been on over the decades with me for various projects and bands. But I remember, I have a photo of it. You had a band that put out a great record, California Breed.
Yes.
It was yourself, Andrew Watt, mm-hmm. who at the time was the unknown kid in the band.
He was.
That nobody had a clue who he was, just a kid. Now he's one of the most renowned producers in rock and pop.
He certainly is.
The guy who's done the last couple Ozzy records, the new one and the previous one as well, is a ton of mm-hmm. pop stuff as well. And Jason Bonham.
Yep.
And that record was produced by Dave Cobb. It's probably Correct. 10 years ago now, maybe longer.
9 years, yeah. yeah
9 years. Yeah, sure. Phenomenal, phenomenal record. I love that record. Mm-hmm. But I'll never forget, because if you recall, when you came into my studio, Cobb was with you guys. It was the three of you, and Cobb happened to be there.
You're right.
It was the only time I met Dave Cobb.
Yes.
And I remember him saying, we were talking about the vocals on the record, and Dave said, well, yeah, the crazy thing about the vocals is those were basically like guide vocals that he basically yeah. duped him in, like he yeah. said, well, yeah, let's run it through Glenn, and then we're done, like, okay, we're done, and you're like, well, that wasn't really me trying to do a take.
That's the Glenn Hughes story, though.
That's it,
the guide vocals.
When Glenn sings, he goes I don't want to do demos because it's going to be the final thing, it's going to be it. And so when Ben Gross said, hey, you know, I really need to get an idea of where the melodies and stuff are going, so Glenn came over and he, in a couple of days,
did guide vocals. And they turn out great.
And tell him the story. Tell him.
So we did the guide vocals. It's spontaneously, the songs are written. I'm at the microphone. Doug's helping me get the thing sorted out. I'm singing very quickly, sang for the first take, sang the songs, went to the studio with Ben. Ben says, can you sing them again? I said, sure, I'll sing them again. But there's just different vibe. When I sing them again, it's not the way I did it in the first place. The way I sing the song is the first take is always the way to go. It's always been like that with me forever.
Because, there's that old adage where you hear artists say all the time, well, you should have heard the demo. You should have heard the demo. Meaning that the demo was better. But in your case, you circumvent that.
And Ben was a little upset because he said, you got to keep singing. I said, well, I could sing it all bloody night. But I'm telling you now, it's probably going to be the first take that's going to be the keeper. And it was.
You got dates coming up here in the U.S., right? Let's talk about the coming U.S. tour. When's it kicking off? You've got, I think, Enough's Enough and Gilby Clark.
We do.
Gilby's just doing L.A. with us.
Gilby's doing
that's
L.A.
Be amazing, yes.
The L.A. show is September 18th at the Vermont Theater.
Yeah. We start in Jersey, Landis Theater in Vinland or Vineland.
Vineland.
September the 7th. So Wednesday night, Ed, are you available?
I don't know if I'll be in Jersey. I might be in L.A. when you guys play here. I don't know if I'll be in Jersey.
It's a Sunday night, by the way.
Okay. Well, what, L.A.?
Yes, we can go for a pizza at the Rainbow later.
Sure.
We'll see you there, Eddie. We'll see you on the 18th at the Vermont.
Well, we'll see.
And then there's shows in between. I don't know. What, another chunk of shows between Jersey and L.A., and then after L.A.
Nashville, Chicago.
That's right, the Arcata outside of Chicago.
Right.
And then we finish up in Seattle.
Correct.
Dead Daisies always were more of a global thing, were they not? I mean, from Doug, you've been in the band the longest, but it's just been 6 years. But even going back to that, maybe because Loey is from Australia, I guess, originally. But the band has always been worked pretty aggressively globally as opposed to just focusing on the U.S. or Europe, right?
I would say that Europe is are you talking about the market size?
Yes.
I would say Europe is probably the main one, and South America, too, is pretty good. But, we spent a lot of time going back and forth across Europe, and it pays off, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it definitely feels like, even reading the press on you guys, that it's definitely become very much a global thing for the band. And it was always, you could say, especially, you know, nobody in the band being kids, the idea is usually like, oh, let's just kind of stay close to home, stay in the U.S. and work that. But I guess it's nice to have your own jet, too, when you can make it a little easier to get around.
So grateful for that.
Yeah, it does help. So normally when we go over to Europe, we fly commercial because this is, you know, that aircraft, that's like his
car,
you know. It's like, you're not gonna
car,
you don't want to be spilling M&Ms down the air vent of his aircraft. No. You know,
it's a beautiful
but we do short hauls with him. It's like, so we can, instead of taking a 10-hour bus ride, we can take an hour flight.
And Glenn was saying you got COVID too then, right?
Yeah,
but you didn't get it bad.
I didn't get it bad, and actually a few of us got it, and we holed up in where was it, Luxembourg?
Yes.
Yeah,
4 days. Yeah,
and I just kept away from everybody, and just eventually I tested negative, and a couple other guys tested negative, and we got back to it.
But it's running rampant everywhere in Europe, Eddie. It's bloody, it's everywhere.
It was brutal because, you know, a lot of bands were struggling to, and they're hemorrhaging when they're canceled. They have to postpone or cancel shows. They're hemorrhaging money. They're losing money for the show, and then they're paying money to keep people out there. And it's just like, after a while, you know, whether it was COVID or something else, you know, a couple bands who we know had to come home.
Well, someone we all know very well in David Coverdale and Whitesnake. I mean, those guys got crushed.
Yeah, David called us to ask if Brian could fill in for Tommy Aldridge, but. That wasn't
it didn't work out, but it also, I think at that point, that's when it was getting to the point where they had to end their run. You know, there's too much going on, too many people getting sick over there, which is also a risk. You know, oh, yeah, I'll come in and fill in, but now I'm in this world where you need me because people are sick, and now I'm around that. It's, you know, you don't really want to.
Yeah, it's definitely seems like we're in a time where most bands, because of what's on the line for live shows, are actually, almost all these major bands are carrying some sort of alternates. Now, that actually happened for the Dead Daisies, right?
Yeah.
You guys, they actually played some shows without you, right, Glenn?
I mean, look, that happened, and they told me the morning that Dino was coming in and Yogi, I went, well, can you do it? He said, well, we're going to give it a go. We're going to just give it a go. And they did it, a remarkable job, actually. So I was very happy that they could fulfill the commitment and complete the tour. The 7 shows that I wasn't available for.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, Dino's a tremendous singer, but you know, trying to sub out the voice of rock. Well, I don't know if you can do that.
He did a wonderful job.
No, I'm not saying him, but I'm just saying you, especially in Europe, you know that, you're Glenn Hughes, you know, that's a big part of the draw there. So no disrespect to Dino, but sometimes, and I'm sure it sounded great, but sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Strictly as a fan, when I look at this, and I understand the business aspects of it, but if we're being brutally honest, I'll look and be like, well, okay, if that guy's not going to be there, you kind of have to shut it down. And then there's other guys you could say, well, okay, I can understand they could sub them out. So it's a tough thing, but I understand everybody's in uncharted waters right now, that we're all dealing with this stuff.
It was difficult, but again, I'm really glad the guys could complete the tour and we could all get together again in the next couple of weeks.
When we, the month before, when we didn't do Hellfest and what was it?
Grass Pop.
It was a Saturday and a Sunday, I think. And like those were what we were talking about, man. We're going to tour a few weeks. We did a bunch of shows with Foreigners and our own dates. Man, by the time we get to Hellfest and Grass Pop, we're going to be, you know,
smoking,
locked up. And to not be able to do that just sucked. And then, you know, then when Glenn got sick, we're like, oh, they were telling us that these final shows, some of these are your biggest solo shows, you know? So you're like, well, how, you know, you know, management talks that through and goes, well, what do we do? You know, because it's a bummer to, it would be a bummer to go do it without Glenn, and it completely sucked, and there was, you know, it wasn't a, you know, worth it at all, because, you know, we just sound like crap. But luckily Yogi came in, who was filling in on rhythm guitar. If you don't know Yogi, he's a buddy of ours. He used to play in
Chris Cornell.
Was he originally in Buck Cherry?
He was in Buck Cherry.
Early on.
Yeah, early first tour, second record. And then was in with Chris Cornell for a bunch of years, and he's awesome. So we're like, okay, he's been playing rhythm guitar. He filled in. He's a great musician. He can hopefully just lock that stuff up on bass.
He could borrow my bass.
Yeah,
he did it.
And you know, I mean, he kept it together. You know, and then Dino came in, which, you know, it's a tall order. Dino's a great singer, but it was like, what do? Do we all just go home and kind of like, that's how we end everything, or do we at least say, here we are for the people that were waiting to see us? Hey, if you don't want to go, want to refund, it's there, but. You know, if you want to,
I think it was fantastic that they could complete the tour with Dino and Yogi. I was very happy for them.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the world we're in right now. I mean, Whitesnake just pulled off of all the dates with Scorpions. Right. They couldn't play. Again, most bands have some sort of alternate prepared. I know the guys in Anthrax are good friends. They had an alternate in case something happened. But when COVID hit them recently, it took out three guys.
Yeah.
You can't sub out for three guys.
Rival Sons, too.
Rival Sons. I mean, everybody seems to. And Bri, you actually picked up another band that you used to play with that you returned to in that COVID fill-in capacity was Foreigner recently, right?
Yeah, that was exactly. I forgot about that. That was like in April. Same thing happened. They were doing a Vegas residency, and from what I remember, I think they all went and saw Scorpions, or a bunch of them did.
And Klaus was the super spreader.
I don't know who was spreading what.
Damn it.
But something happened where they called me and go, you know, Chris Frazier is not doing well, and then I pull up to do the weekend shows, and they go, now our other guitar player is he also got
Louis.
Louis he's ill now. So luckily, Tom Gimbel, who used to play in Foreigner, he's like the longest standing member.
Right.
He lives in Vegas now. So they call Tom up 10 in the morning. Can you play tonight? So I show up. I haven't played with him in 5 years. Tom shows up, and it was a nice, you know, class reunion vibe.
Seamless,
and,
apparently.
But that's what happens, you know. That in their case, it's cool, just because there's been a lot of, you know, like I've played a lot over a lot of years with Foreigner, so I get in there, and it's relative. It's like, you know, it's putting on old shoes, so to speak.
Let me ask you this, Eddie.
Don't smell.
If you were a band leader, or you had a band, and one of your guys has got, you know, he's testing positive, but he's got no symptoms, or he's very light symptoms. Do you feel like do you want to cancel a show, or do you want to just isolate that guy?
No, I'd let him play.
Yeah, let him play, but he's got.
I would not say anything and let him play.
Right.
Because the thing in today's world is, I think that after these few years of COVID that we've all gone through, I think the takeaway from it is we really don't know anything.
No, exactly.
We don't know anything.
Really?
So exactly. It's like, you know people that are like, I've been in the same room with people and two people get it and two don't.
Yeah.
I've known families where the husband gets it, the wife doesn't.
Right.
So I think it's like become like, I'm no doctor, but it feels to me like it's going to be in a place like a flu or a cold.
That's what it was for me.
Yeah,
I just had a really bad cough.
If you can power through and you're in a position that you can play, then you play.
Even, I mean, in the past, there's been times when I would have flu and I'd still play.
Right. Yeah, that's my point.
You just don't go around people and you make sure that you let people know that you're not feeling well and they stay away from you. And nobody, you know, in that situation, I'm not going to give you the flu because you're going to go, Doug's sick, so I'm going to stay away from him.
Yeah, and if your band members know it, I mean, you stay in your corner of the stage. Everybody stays in theirs. Just don't come over and sing in the same mic as Doug tonight or something like that. That's pretty much it. All right, before we run out of time, let me go around the horn here because, look, I mean, I know we're here to talk about the Dead Daisies. And again, Radiance comes out on September 30th. It sounds amazing. There's a couple songs already online with videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. U.S. tour dates coming up. So I think we hit all this stuff. But, Glenn, obviously you've got an enormous history, whether it's Black Country Communion, whether it's your own stuff.
Yes.
You've done tours where you've played the Purple stuff that's been brilliant. Of course, Doug was on some of that as well. anything above and beyond the Dead Daisies that you hope to revisit or go back to at some point? Is there talk of another Black Country Communion record?
There is, and I'll say this very clearly. I'm in the Dead Daisies. I have an album to promote. I have tour dates coming up. At some point, when the windows open, when it schedules, you know, when everybody feels it's appropriate, I will do another album. But at the moment, all I'm doing and gratefully and honoring is the Dead Daisies. It's my number one priority.
And Doug, anything that you want to do above and beyond this that you've got cooking, like either on the side or when there's a gap or anything like that?
We've been so busy, Eddie, that when I do have some free time, I'm kind of doing the dad thing at this point.
Right.
But when Glenn got involved, I kind of pushed everything. I had a couple things that I was dabbling in, and I've canceled all that stuff.
And
I want to just stay focused. You know this. You have to sometimes take a lot of different gigs. I want to, if I can at all possible avoid that, this is my gig.
Yeah. And did you see the Dio doc?
Not yet. Did you see it?
Oh, no. Yeah. Did
How
you see it, Glenn?
No, I have not.
I went with Wendy to the screening at South by Southwest to sell it. That was the pitch.
Right.
So we went and had a press event, and I helped her there. But it's coming out.
Yeah.
In a few weeks, it's extraordinary.
Yeah,
as all of us who knew and loved Ronnie, of course, Glenn, Doug, you played with him. I mean, it is just a perfect,
great
testament to the man we all loved and missed.
Good to hear.
And there's going to be a premiere here in L.A., which I don't know if you're.
We were just talking about it. Yeah.
I don't know if it lines up with when everybody's in town, but there's a thing at. I don't know if I can say the date or the place
on the 20th.
Well, there's a premiere, but then there's also, that premiere on the 20th.
Yes.
But then there is the open to the public,
two
screenings, and I suggest going to see it in theaters because it's awesome to see up on the big screen.
Yeah, I want to do that.
It's fantastic. Bri, anything for you? I mean, you're jumping around doing some stuff, but is this where you're hanging your hat for now?
Yeah. This is it pretty much. I'm trying to think if there's anything. No, when we're home, I just try to stay busy, you know? So I 2 weekends ago, I went and did a filling gig with Don Felder, which is always fun. You know, I've done gigs with him over the years, about chunks of gigs here and there over the years, and that's a whole different world. But, you're playing with Mr. Hotel California, which is badass, you know? He's awesome. And, just sessions and just try to stay creative.
Last time Brian was here, he was promoting the re-record of Lynch Mob's Wicked Sensation, which has since been disowned by everybody but you, Brian. Although I thought it was cool, but
it was fun. But we should have it was just an idea, but we should have just went to a room and just played the live show and recorded it and called it, the live version of that record in 2020 or whatever. But hey, you go for things, and
That's it. Live and learn. Didn't bother me at all, but fans
we had fun doing it. We made so much freaking money; it was worth it.
Yeah, I'm sure
it was insane.
I gotta wrap up. Thank you, Brian Tichy, Doug Aldridge, Glenn Hughes.
Always
great to see you guys. Radiance, amazing new album from the Dead Daisies. The second with Glenn, the return of Tischmeister on it. Doug, of course, been there forever now. 6 years is forever.
The old man,
And that comes out again on September 30th. And look for a date near you. Band is going to be sounding killer live. We know that with these great musicians in the group. So, and the website is...
DeadDaisies.com.
Is there a D?
TheDeadDaisies.com.
TheDeadDaisies.com. Yes. That's where you want to go to find the dates. We mentioned there are... you going to come back try to do another U.S. run after these? Because you got 20 or 30.
Maybe. That would be great.
We would hope so in the spring. We're hoping so, yes.
With the album actually out, because everything's happening in advance.
I think this album's a good a year cycle for sure, so we can get to play as many venues as possible.
Sounds killer. Guys, seriously, check out the stuff that's online now in advance of the record coming out. It's so cool. It's heavy. It's thick. It's groovy. It's killer. It really is.
Thank you.
Well, thanks to Brian, Doug, and Glenn for coming in. The new Dead Daisies album is out now. It's called Radiance. Be sure to check it out. Second record they've made with Glenn Hughes at the helm. It sounds absolutely killer. And Glenn really is an ageless wonder. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to check me out on the radio every day. SiriusXM Channel 103 Faction Talk live Monday through Friday. Talk and rock with you 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Replays on demand on the SiriusXM app.
Hope you join me for the radio show. The interview you just heard originated live on that radio show not too long ago, as a matter of fact, just a few weeks ago, talking to the Dead Daisies. Again, appreciate you tuning in and listening. Thank you for subscribing. Please do so if you haven't already. And I will catch you guys next Thursday for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.